think the mind will ever be satisfied? You know? Or maybe another way to ask that is, does satisfaction come from the mind? I mean, small mind. I think in Sanskrit, mind, the word for mind means also heart. I think they're speaking about something different. Big mind. You often hear big heart, but I also like to include big mind. What's the difference between big mind and small mind? I'll have a quiz later. Which mind is listening right now? Which one is hearing right now? I'll talk about this another way, just to illustrate. Can you imagine being a cow? You know, you're out in your pasture, munching on grass. Are you doing inquiry? Like, why am I a cow? You know? Or what does it mean to be a cow? Or maybe you're thinking, you know, I think that grass over there is greener. Or maybe, you know, this grass is a little bland, but I think I could use a little balsamic vinaigrette or something, you know, pick it up a little. Not quite the way I like it. Or is there even any thought at all? Is there just being? Eating grass. Being, sitting, listening here. Well, being is the source of fulfillment, satisfaction. Or even, another way to put it, life's purpose. We get so oriented towards, understandably, doing, accomplishing, surviving, that we somehow lose sight of that reality. That's why I think there's often a desire to simplify. If we could just go back to the way, you know, just simple, whatever that means, I don't know. So, of course, you come here and you know, we're so busy moving, getting things done, going faster and faster, getting more and more done. And we come here and we stop and fall asleep. Because we're so wound, you know. So it's actually a relief just to sit. The body just gets to stop and just relax. Maybe the mind is going off somewhere. I like cows. I like that. I used to have a lot of neighbors who were cows in Bolinas. And they would run over to my car. Something very calming about seeing cows eating grass. Maybe they're content, particularly if they're in Bolinas. It's good grass out there. Good air. If I were a cow, I'd want to be out there. Is contentment your true nature? The sense of just being. Isn't that what Thich Nhat Hanh meant when he said, you know, when he was talking about washing the dishes? You know, Thich Nhat Hanh, the Zen teacher. Beautiful heart, Zen teacher. There's two ways to wash the dishes. Do you know that one? You can wash the dishes in order to get them done, or you can wash the dishes in order to wash the dishes. Just washing dishes. That's the dissolving of the future, the past, and the personal story. The end of dualistic perception. Me and my job of dishes that have to get done. That's not there. Just like the cow eating grass. Content. So the value of that is, the value of that insight, if you get it, what's the value of that insight if you get it? What's the doorway to contentment, to peace? Wherever there isn't contentment. You get it? We could talk about it soon. If you don't. So when you're maybe doing your taxes or something you don't want to be doing? Perfect, perfect opportunity. Anytime there's resistance, perfect opportunity. What is resistance anyway, except just fundamentally energy? Contentment is when it's all the energies are lined up, when they're all integrated. They're all flowing in harmony. They're a perfect ecosystem. perfectly balanced ecosystem. That's equanimity, harmony, true nature. And then you just leap off the building, right? Into bliss. No noise, no mental noise. Just munching grass. It's good to be with you. Good to see you. I mean that in the deepest way, too. You know. And isn't it wonderful when you're back home right now? And every moment that you arrive back home in being, isn't it just nice? Nourishing. Very simple, not complicated. So how do we return back to emptiness, fullness? How do we balance the complexity so that there's harmony and simplicity? Even in the midst of what may appear to be complex, busy. You already know the answer. You are that right now. So give that your attention. Every time you notice just that open, spacious peacefulness, allow awareness to realize it is that. Not the thought I am, I mean, not the thought, not a separate thought. There's no separate thought there. There's no identity then. There's no one saying, I'm a cow. There's no story about me anymore at that moment. Isn't that freedom? The alive laboratory of satsang. It's like hydroponics. Okay. I've rambled enough, I think. This cow's getting too far out in the pasture. I love the sign if you drive. It used to, I don't know if it's there anymore, but the Clover, you know, milk, which is up in Petaluma. They have all the organic stuff. Anyway, they used to have a sign that I loved driving up that way. It said, our cows are outstanding in their field. Are you next? Okay.
Hi, John.
Hi, Adam.
I feel pretty present right now. So why'd I come up here? This is the first time I've... Last few times I've been here, I've been falling asleep and not present. I feel present right now, and for some reason I just... I don't know, like I wanted to sit with you, and I don't really know the purpose exactly. Sustain it or affirm it or...
Just allow it, be with it, notice it, you know, whatever. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. It's unconditioned pleasure. Unconditional pleasure. And that's really what it is. The end of conditions. The space that does not have conditions. The infinite space of no conditions.
Question is arising. I don't exactly know how to formulate it, but it's something about about thought, and so I'm feeling present with you, but there's still some desire to like to speak and communicate concepts, like that mind which I enjoy still wants to engage.
So what's wrong with that? As long as it doesn't obscure, as long as it doesn't become a separation, a breaking away, or a kind of defense, or a struggle, then it's fun. It's creative play. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. I think often in my everyday life, I feel really just controlled by my mind. Often.
That's what about right now?
No, not right now.
Enjoy. You know? Stretch out. Relax now. Here. That's why people hang out in these environments. To remember who they are. It's easy to forget. It's easy to get caught in the habit of humanity.
How do I maintain this?
Fortunately, that's not your responsibility. If you try, it will create problems. This is a tricky thing to talk about. It's very tricky. I would keep it real simple. When it's here, enjoy it. That's how. When it's here and enjoying it, surrender completely. As Pundit used to say, take a leap forward. It's an opportunity. Jean Klein said the same thing, different words. There is a certain kind of non-personal absorption effort that happens, that's available at this moment. And when you're suffering and struggling, just notice that that's what's happening. That's the value of when you're still in a dual perspective, subject-object, and you can see that there's suffering, then be the witness of it. That's the beginning of shifting and dissolving the ego. Because once you're really relaxed in awareness, the ego disappears by itself. And when you really realize that you are awareness, that process is effortless. There's no more efforting anymore about it. Doesn't mean there won't be human issues or stuff coming up. There may be for a while. It doesn't even matter. I mean, it's not a problem anymore. There's no more story that says it's a problem that I'm an imperfect, screwed up human being. In fact, it's nice. Like, welcome to the club. We're all bozos on this bus. It's a quote from the Firesign Theater. And that's okay. No problem. Was that useful to hear that? Okay. Okay. I think that one of the hardest things to deal with, you know, and what I hear over from various people is what I would call the sort of tortured mind space. You know? I used to have that. Horrible. I couldn't even sleep. Long time ago.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Glad you came up. Enjoy. You know, when you're eating ice cream, really taste the flavor. Okay? That's the instruction. Got it? Okay. Made me think of Byright. It's my favorite ice cream.
Thanks for satsang, John.
Oh, you're welcome, John. Good to see you.
Me too.
Thanks.
I have a question about fear and desire and how they relate to our journey to awaken. And the basis for my question, in part, it's from your book, Ecology of Consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple things you said caught my attention. One, you said that the first priority is to have a profound desire to be free of suffering. And I like that. The other one was that when we fear letting go, that fear comes up from letting go, and that it can be scary and threatening when we allow consciousness to return to its natural beingness.
Yes.
And the question is, how does fear and desire kind of balance or relate to each other in awakening, seems in some situation it allows it, in other situations it blocks it. And I just wonder if you could say more about that.
You say more about it. I'm curious what you have to say about it.
Well, actually, the other part of the basis for my question is actually this guy who leads a meditation group in Palo Alto, and Akemi and I went there a few times, and very knowledgeable. He's been on the path for 20 years, and he says every time, he says, "I'm not awakened, but we're here, and we're going to do this work." And finally, after class, it occurred to me one time to ask him. It just came to me, and I said, "What fear is it that is keeping you from awakening?" And he just looked at me and said, "You know, I'll have to look at that." And I thought, wow, after 20 years on this path, learning all this stuff, teaching people, and not even knowing if there's a fear there that's keeping him, it just makes me very curious. So when I read what you said in your book, I kind of thought that's maybe something, you know, you can address, or something to figure out. It seems like if there's too much fear, we're blocked. We need a lot of desire to overcome the fear. And another thing you said then is that you made type A look catatonic when you were...
That's true.
So that's a very strong desire. And I guess I'm just wondering, does a desire have to overwhelm the fear for
no.
this?
They're not. I wouldn't compare them that way. I hear that how you're talking about it, but I don't think I would. I think I would say that I think that the so-called path, or the doorway to the possibility of freedom, for most individuals would be a kind of hitting bottom. It's like no choice. Not like, oh, that's groovy, let's get enlightened now, that sounds cool. I don't think so. I mean, if it's like that, I think it becomes a rude awakening pretty fast, or people run pretty fast in another direction. But if somebody's really, and is in Zen, we say, coming in the back door, they're ready, I think that's usually like whatever you've been doing or whatever's been going on at an habitual level just isn't working. You keep hitting your head against the wall, you know? And then it's like, hey, you know what? I think, I know this happened very young for me, but the way I phrased it as a young person was, I want to find out how to be happy. Because yeah. I saw a lot of very successful adults who, they didn't feel like they were. I thought, well, you know, that was kind of, and I think probably because I came from a background where it wasn't the most harmonious environment. And it was the 60s. I mean, you know, I was here, you know, in San Francisco. So I think that, you know, that discovery at that age was really, and what I would say is that most people who I think are, who become, I don't know how to even say it, I would say everybody here right now is at a place where being free is a priority, however you want to put it. If you want to say the desire to be free, whatever you want to call it, it's just obvious. It's like, yeah, I have a lot of other things I like to do in this life, but that, if you really get honest, that's a priority. I think that's what people mean. That it isn't that you can pretend it, like, oh yeah, well, it's my priority, but if it isn't, it isn't. It either is or it isn't. I don't even know if there's personal choice in that. I think it's more a kind of evolutionary unfoldment in the individual. Right?
Yeah. I resonate when you said about hitting the bottom, because that coming out of my midlife crisis, there was nothing left. I just said, well, I'm going to find, you know, ended up on the spiritual path, and it was kind of the hitting the bottom, and then
And people go kicking and screaming all the way to freedom. Can, not necessarily, but not, it's not uncommon. It can be a pretty bumpy up and down roller coaster, right? Now, the other thing I want to respond to is your thing about fear, because I think what I was saying, and the way I usually speak about, and a very particular fear, not the sort of, I mean, there's instinctual fears that I think are just part of being a human being, but there's the ultimate fear of oblivion. Okay, if you want to call it that, of just, right? Yeah. Okay. Another way to say it is fear of being infinite, light and energy. I mean, it sounds groovy, but actually to approach that is nothing less than terrifying for most people. So as people open, as they become less identified and more open in awareness, usually or very often, that fear will come up, and there's like a stopping, and it's not conscious. And I know in my own case that came up for years. Every time it started expanding tremendously, I mean really tremendously, like something would stop it. And then there was a night where I just happened to be with Robert Adams in Sedona, and that was the end of it. If there was the end of that stopping the expansion, oops. And I knew it. I knew it was. I mean, not me, but there was a sense of, okay, here we go. So that's, I think, what I was referring to. So many, many people have a kind of fear, and that's usually a sign that they're opening, even though the mind will say, what's wrong? Or, uh-oh, there's some, because it's hard to distinguish between a kind of instinctual, kind of organic fear, you might say, and this infinite, fear of the infinite, of being the infinite.
Yeah. I found it really has taken me a lot of courage to go in there and find out what the fear is, and even being afraid of the fear, which is kind of denial, basically. And you have to, and, you know... And this guy in Palo Alto, not to be disrespectful, but it's just like, you know, you have to look. And,
you know, everybody's in their own place. You know, it doesn't mean that somebody can't be helpful as a meditation teacher and have a lot of experience in that and help people a great deal. And I think that's beautiful. And I mean, there's, you know, that's, and I think it's, you know, how wonderful that someone can be honest about where they are and not be putting up some errors about being something other than what they are, you know, than what's true for them. I mean, I respect that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that ultimately what really works, one of the really important elements on the path is honesty.
Yeah.
Not perfection.
Yeah.
Not filling some idea of how we're supposed to be or how we think someone else is, but the truth of really honesty of what our, how our humanity and spirituality interface, because they do. That's why I called my book Ordinary Freedom, because it's ordinary and extraordinary simultaneously. It's the, you know, the lotus rooted in the mud, and then the blooms as the symbol of enlightenment, right? Okay. But it's rooted in the mud. That's what I love. I love that.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So, you know, you can you be gentle and tender and welcome without force and without struggling whatever fear may be arising? Because I think that this is where I think compassion and forgiveness are really important qualities as we begin to allow our body to open. Because literally, you know, that We talk about the energy, but the physical body and the energy body are not separate. They are absolutely interconnected, as you know.
Yeah, sure.
This is a tricky thing to talk about. A lot of people don't talk about this, but I do because I've been in the healing world for a very, very long time. So it's very much my experience, not only working with myself but others, and how it works. You know.
Yeah. Somebody was saying the other day, the body's like a radar for everything that's going on, and I can resonate, I can relate to that.
It's like a mirror, too,
it
yeah.
It tells you, yeah.
Yeah. See, but this is this openness, to open to this openness. And then if there's fear arising, then it's seen, that's all. It's felt, it's... It's just another form of energy.
Yeah. I sense it as a contraction, and then eventually it releases.
Yeah.
And it's noticeable. Thank you very much.
You're really welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Jeff, come on up.
Hi, John.
Hi.
It's good to see you.
Thank you. You too.
So as you know, I'm in rehab. As we talked about last time.
Congratulations. You're still in or you just got out?
No, I'm still in. Good. I have a month left.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But it's crazy. 10 gay queens and 5 unconscious counselors.
Sounds perfect.
It is. It's that melting pot, you know.
Just what you needed.
So it doesn't have to be satsang to practice. I mean, I find that practice and the awareness is there even in that chaos.
Great. Beautiful. Glad to hear that.
It's a perfect place for it, you know.
Good.
But it's nice to come here and get more grounded.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I can feel that happening with you, and I'm glad to see it and feel it.
What was that?
I said I can feel that happening with you, and I'm glad to see it and feel it for you.
Me too. It's like I don't
have a
long
time coming.
Yeah. It's just unfolding and unfolding and unfolding.
That's it. Well, you say, well, God willing, you're ready.
Yeah. It's good to see you.
Yeah, you too. You know, when I was 18, I was my hair was out to here. I had a full head of hair, beard. I was living in Santa Cruz, and I was a crisis counselor in a heroin detox center. I got some really interesting stories from that period. And the two people running the program were ex-heroin addicts. And they said, you know, you've had to have had enough. The glamour has to wear off. They had a program, it was called Do It Now. And they were given methadone, it was methadone, they didn't like methadone. They said the only way to do it is cold turkey. That's what they said, but I'm just quoting them. But I always remember that, you know, you've had to have enough. That's what I meant earlier when I said hitting bottom. Ready. When you're ready, you're ready. That's all.
Thanks, John.
You're really welcome. Good to see you. Thanks for coming. Good luck with it. One of my favorite experiences, if I can tell a little anecdote from that time. So I went out on, I used to go out on crisis call and people were freaking out and all manner of, like a whole household of people had taken, like having a bad acid trip, a whole bunch of people, and I would just show up and, you know, I would just kind of walk into the house and I would sort of be one of them all of a sudden. And I should show you a picture of what I look like. Anyway. I went to see this one woman, and she just got out of released from a mental hospital, and she said that she was they had her in a locked up room in a straitjacket, and I don't remember, but anyway, she said she couldn't they put her in the room because she said she couldn't scream and she couldn't yell. She said, I couldn't be normal. I love that. You know, just you know what I mean? Anyway, I'll work on that one. I don't know. That didn't come out right. I loved it when she said it. It was just kind of like... I think one of the many challenges that we find on the path is, what does it really mean to be human? And I think one of the reasons we have so much suffering is that we've forgotten how to be human. Or we're trying to be a certain way, fit into a certain way that we should be, and we put ourselves in a box, and we're not allowed to be free, which is our nature. Then we actually unconsciously are conditioned to hold back our light, our energy, our vitality. So we're learning that now, how to cultivate that amazing garden. Garden of Light. Diane, come on up. Hi. Hi.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Mike, maybe the mic a little closer.
Sure.
It'd be easier to hear. Thanks.
Kind of a check-in report and. Very mundane, kind of nuts and bolts report to part of the report is feeling like I'm kind of sitting behind the veil a lot of the time, just, and there isn't the resistance, and the, you know, everything just arises, and dishes and relationships and driving, and, you know, and it's, and there's nothing. And so what catches my interest now is what triggers me, or what I have resistance to, and there's a couple of women that I do work for who are complaining and negative and whoa, and I'm finding some resistance to that, and wondering, listening to them, how do I relate to this? In the past, I would have been make them feel better, or, you know, somehow match, sympathize, console, and what I've learned about helping them feel better is really making myself feel better too. And so now there is not really resonating, and not knowing what kind of conversation to have And noticing some resistance and some fear come up for me around how they're being, and wondering why they're showing up in my life, and being thankful that they're showing up, and
wow.
So it's very,
very rich.
Yeah, very mundane and very rich. And
You said the word veil. You're behind this veil. What do you mean? Can you say more about that? Is that like a separate? Do you feel separate?
No. Actually, I feel more connected.
Okay.
And present and timeless and spacious. And from that being.
You know, usually when you talk about the reactions that come up, usually those are just mirroring deep stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And even though we can, like you're describing, beautiful, open, connected space, mm-hmm. actually more available for those triggers.
Yeah.
For those mirrors.
Yeah.
They are. Our teaching.
Yeah. Yeah. The mirror is. Pretty much as miserable as I could imagine myself being.
Yeah.
And what a gift that is to,
yes.
to dive in to that unhappiness. That
yes. Because, you know, this is really the deeper work. Mm-hmm. This is really the body work.
Yeah.
The healing work.
Yeah.
Not everybody does it. A lot of people bypass this, actually. Mm-hmm. And they may be very, you know... I don't want to go there. I could go there, but let's just stay with this right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that what I would suggest is, and maybe this is what you're finding already, mm-hmm. is that in the presence, when those aversions mm-hmm. are coming up, to really... like they say in the program, keep the attention on yourself. Do you know what I mean? It's like, but not personal in that sense. I don't mean that in a personal sense, but I mean really that it's very easy to get focused on them. Like in the past, you would take care of them, mm-hmm. right, in some way, which in a way was avoiding yourself, mm-hmm. avoiding that mirror. And now you're in the openness, actually able to actually look in the mirror. To really look in the mirror, not with any concept, mm-hmm. not with any story, mm-hmm. but really just with compassionate presence. Mm-hmm. And those parts that have been wounded, that are maybe very young, whatever, can begin to be seen, revealed, released, healed, and integrated. Mm-hmm. Literally brought into the light.
Mm-hmm. There was the compassion seems to be one of the keys. It's you know, listening to one of the women talk today, and you know, it's like, wow, it's, you know, whatever story she was telling, and it was like, wow, it sounds like it was really painful for you, and or whatever it was, you know, and just that acknowledgement of and bridge of hearing. Because that's the gift that I give myself in meeting that, is hearing what wasn't heard before.
Yeah. on a very deep level.
And felt and acknowledged. Yeah. And
then we stop pushing away ourself, yeah. parts of ourself.
Yeah. And I get the opportunity tomorrow again.
Mm-hmm. I'll be very interested to hear how it's going.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Me too.
Going to make a few announcements and then we'll have some time to sit together. I forgot to mention at the beginning that we're podcasting these talks now, so if you came up and didn't want your dialogue on the podcast, let us know and we'll edit it. Okay, I'll make a few announcements. Let's see. Upcoming events. Satsang will be here next Monday. And our schedule is posted on the website, johnburney.org. You can sign up for the newsletter there, which we announce all kinds of upcoming things there, and there's teachings in that. Plus, you can also find our schedule here in Santa Cruz, and there's all kinds of teachings and podcasts and videos on the website. Also, if you're interested, hold on a second. If you're interested in meeting with me, either privately here in San Francisco or setting up a meeting, or I work with people privately, also on Skype and or by phone, you can contact me through the website as well. There's an email contact form. Okay, so just allow yourself to return if you've wandered off somewhere. And allow your natural alignment and center to balance itself if you're somehow gone out of balance. Okay? And you can bring compassion and gentleness in your attention to whatever is arising right now. And let go of any conclusions. Letting go of any judgments about how it is. And allowing yourself to relax into this deep openness that you truly are. This pure energy of being and light that you are. This unconditional big heart of love that you are.